Harold, nice to be with you folks again. We're having some great weather in Golden Lake, Ontario, but the atmosphere that I stepped into a few minutes ago as you were finishing up your remembrance of the Lord was far greater than any climate or weather that we have here. What a delight to hear the people of God remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And with you, I remember him this morning. Okay, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. Now, I went back in my records. You know, something I have done right over the years, I think, is that I have tried to keep records of where I've been, and not only where I've been, but what I've preached on while I was there. Thus, I give the same sermon every time I visit the same people. We trust the Lord leads us in these things, but sometimes you wonder, you know. But listen to this, just for interest's sake. From October of 22 to January of 23, about 16 months, in the men's class that I've had the privilege of being a part of and encouraging the men in the class, we had, are you listening? We had 43 sessions on the book of Philemon. So I'm thinking I could probably just ask any of those men this morning that were in the study, why don't you say something about Philemon? And they'd probably stand up and tell you the whole story, you know. But what a great privilege and what a great delight to be able to take this little book. You know, it only has 24 verses, and to spend that much time together studying the book. Now, just a brief, very brief, because my time is limited. The brief review of this book is Paul the Apostle is writing to a dear friend of his by the name of Philemon. Philemon lives in Colossae, it'd be in the area of Turkey, somewhere in Turkey, if we were to see that today. And he addresses the letter to Philemon, his brother in Christ, whom it appears that he led to the Lord sometime before he writes his letter. Paul's in prison. He's in Rome. He could be on house arrest. I'm not sure, but he's definitely incarcerated somehow in Rome. Colossae is about, depending on the route you take, about 1,200 miles. You have to cross two bodies of water and a lot of land. And Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus. And one day, everybody woke up to go to work, and Onesimus was missing. He had run away. And according to the letter that Paul writes, it would appear that he probably took some funds for his journey, took something he could sell along the way or something, but he's a runaway slave. And instead of going east, he goes west and he travels approximately 1,200 miles. And the providence of God, some way, somehow, he finds, or Paul finds him, or the Lord puts them together. We don't know how it happened. And Philemon is led to, sorry, Onesimus, the runaway slave, is led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. And he stays there for a while and ministers to Paul. And then Paul said to Onesimus, he said, son, you got to go home. And you can only imagine him saying, I can't go home. That's the last place I want to go. So the story is really a drama. It's a true story. It's exciting. It's so applicable. And Paul does eventually send Onesimus, the runaway slave, back with this letter. He got this letter that we're reading here in Philemon. He's got that in his hand. I can only imagine him walking up a long laneway to a very wealthy man's house, Philemon, his master, and holding this letter up so he doesn't get chopped in little pieces before he ever gets a chance to get the letter of explanation. He probably thinks, I hope this works, you know. And he goes back. It's quite the story. That's as far as I'm going to tell you in that story. This morning, I just want to read verses 4 to 7 this morning and see if we can eke out from part of this letter some encouragement and some challenge for us to contemplate today. Reading from the book of Philemon, verse 4. Paul says to Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So much to learn from Paul's letters. How much can we learn by application this morning? We're not Philemon. We don't live back in 62 or 64 AD. We weren't a slave owner. We didn't know any of this was going on. We certainly don't have the cultural or historical setting, but we can make some application to this. And so I've just entitled this section, Prayer and Thanksgiving. If you ever come to our house, in our living room, we have a fake fireplace. And maybe some of you have these. It kind of looks like a fireplace, but you plug it in. You don't put any wood in it or anything like that. There's fake logs and fake flames, but it looks kind of real. But over the mantle on that fireplace, we have a little plaque. You know what that plaque says? Always give thanks, or give thanks in everything. We live in a society, according to the scriptures, that in the last days, one of the noticeable things that's going to happen is that the world or the society in which we live doesn't give thanks anymore. I don't know whether we as a society think we ought to get it, we deserve it, I should have it, or whatever it is, whether it's the fresh air you breathe or the shelter over your head or the clothes you wear or the monies you receive or the job that you, I don't know what it is, or just the kindness of other people. One of the things that's going to characterize the last days is unthankfulness. Could I ask you a question this morning? When is the last time you thank God for your salvation? When did just you, not corporate, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not family devotion, you just before the Lord, maybe on your knees, beside your bed, in the quietness of the night, oh God, thank you for saving a poor sinner like me. Thanksgiving should really characterize our lives, and it certainly characterized the life of the Apostle Paul. Something else that characterized his life was prayer. Matter of fact, if you look closely the letter to the Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, and Philemon. Are you with me on this? He starts those letters by saying, I'm praying for you. If Paul didn't have a prayer list, I don't think he can remember all this stuff, you know. And he says it here in verse 4, I thank my God. And here's one way you can thank God, by praying for other people. There's so much we can thank God for. But he says, I thank my God by making mention of you in my prayers. You know as well as I do, it's a lot easier to cook a meal, cut the grass, paint a room, take a walk, take a drive, do anything else. It's a lot easier to do that than to pray. It's easier to paint a room for 2 hours than it is to get on your knees for 2 hours and pray. Prayer is work. Prayer is labor. In Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is mentioned, and Paul says about him, he labors, you with me? He labors in prayer for you, always praying. Well, Paul was a man of prayer. He's always praying, and don't be afraid to so, well, I don't know what to pray about. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. Well, notice what Paul says here in verse 4, making mention of you. It's okay. You don't have to know all the details. If you do know the details, put them in by all means. If you don't, make mention of one another in prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. Prayer can be a request. Prayer can be thanksgiving. Prayer can be intercession. Prayer can be confession. Prayer is just communing with God. I read my Bible and God talks to me, and I pray and I talk to God. Prayer is necessary, making mention, and Paul says, always. Then in verse 5, here's the reason for his prayer. Notice this. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a lot of gossip goes on. You hear a lot of things. You have to be careful, actually, what you hear. I would suggest for you that you be careful what you hear. We sing that sometime, don't we? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Well, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you hear. But Paul says, I've been hearing some things about Philemon and Apphia and Archippus and the church and their house. He says, what I've heard is very positive. I've heard two things about you. I've heard about your love, and I've heard about your faith. And then he says, I've heard about where that is directed, the love and the faith, which you have toward. That's the direction toward the Lord Jesus. Now, I've been around 16th enough. You get tired of hearing certain things that I say, but you'll remember this, I'm sure. Love and faith are words of action. If you don't have corresponding action, the word love is just in vain. It's just saying it. If you don't have corresponding action, faith is just empty. It's useless. Both of those words are words of action. The action manifests or proves or declares that the word is true. For instance, God didn't sit in heaven and say, I love you. The Bible is very clear. He stepped out of heaven. He came to earth in the person of his son, and the Bible says God declared, God manifested, God showed, God proved his love to us. You see that? Jesus said, if you love me, okay, I got it. I'm going to sing the song, Lord Jesus, I love you. No. If you love me, you will keep my word. You see that corresponding action? And so the Apostle Paul is hearing of something that is real. Faith is like that. Faith, you can, James says, a man can say he has faith, but if there's no corresponding action, if there's no proof, if there's no real life, if there's no evidence, then it's worthless. It's just cheap talk is all it is. But the Apostle Paul says, look, I have heard of something that has corresponding action. And notice the direction again toward the Lord Jesus. Dear friend, this is your primary reason as a believer that you're on earth, to glorify the Lord God, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do that with your love and your faith directed toward him. Because the next part of that verse says, which you have toward the Lord Jesus, and do you see the order here? The order is toward the Lord first, and then toward the saints. If we could put it this way, our love and our faith has to be vertical first to the Lord before it can be horizontal to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So he says, I've heard of your actions toward the Lord Jesus, and I've heard of your actions, love and faith, toward the saints. It's acted out. Verse number 6 then is the purpose of the prayer. That is, you'll notice that it starts with the, at least in the New King James, it starts with the word that, or so that, or in order that. This is the purpose clause. So he's saying, I'm thanking God, I'm mentioning you always, I've heard of your love and faith toward the Lord and toward the saints, so that, or in order that, I'm praying for you so that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Pause. I mean, who wouldn't like to have an effective witnessing life? I mean, most of us, if we're not careful, we miss so many opportunities to witness because we're not praying about it or thinking about it, okay? So first of all, we got to be aware that we have a great privilege of doing this. But Paul is writing to Philemon and he says, you're doing a great job. I just want you to do it better. Notice the word, you may become effective. That is, that there's no wasted time. There's no nothing in vain, that whenever you witness, whenever you share your faith, it will be attended to by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think we've probably all experienced it at some point, and that point is simply this: you have, by the grace of God, shared your faith, and excuse me, as you tell a fellow believer, oh, I had a chance to share my faith, and I don't know where the verse came from. God just gave it to me, or I don't know how I ever answered that question. God just helped me give the right answer. That's what we're talking about, and that's what Paul is saying. I'm praying that your witnessing, the sharing of your faith, will become more effective. But then he gives a key as to how we can become more effective in the sharing of our faith. Notice it again in verse 6. by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You say, what is that? That is, the more you get to know Jesus, the more powerful your witness is going to be. The more you read the Gospels and study his lifestyle, the way he acts and reacts, the way he responds to different peoples, to the Pharisees, to the street people, to his own disciples, excuse me, the more I understand what I have received from the Lord Jesus in my own personal walk with him, the more I thank him, the more I praise him, the more I serve him, the more I love him, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Here's the point. The closer you get to the Lord, the better you know him, the more you appreciate what you have in Christ by the grace of God, the better witness you're going to be, the more effective witness you're going to be. You learn these things by reading your Bible and by praying before the Lord and thanking him for all that. That's the purpose. Then notice the explanation. The explanation of the prayer. The verse 7 starts with the word for. Or I'm going to explain something to you now about why I'm making mention, why I'm thanking God for you, how I've been so encouraged to hear of your love and faith and the way that's being manifested. And I want you to just grow in your sharing of your faith and your witness to God. And then he says this, for we have great joy and consolation in your love. Now, why is Paul happy? Why is he joyful? Why does he have consolation, that is, a reward of the work that he has put in the lives of these people? Why is that? And he says, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. When's the last time you refreshed the heart of a saint? That'd be your brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you do that this past week? Did you make a phone call? Did you take a gift? Did you write a text or an email? Did you visit somebody? When is the last time you said, let me take this burden for a couple of hours and you just take a break? When's the last time you said to a busy mother, how would you just like to take a walk in the park? I'll take the kids for a couple of hours. When is the last time you went to the hospital and sat because the person is so sick, so burdened, they can't talk, they can't do anything else, you just held their hand? When is the last time you refreshed? Listen to the word. I'm intrigued by this word. Refresh, the Greek word. To cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Let me read that again. This Greek word, refresh, comes from a word that means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Paul says, I'm ecstatic. I got great joy and consolation. It's over the moon. I'm so happy. I can't contain myself. And the reason he says I'm happy is because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. And then he says, by you, Philemon, you did it. You're doing what is right. You're ministering to the body. And it causes me to rejoice. Oh, dear fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, keep praying. Keep praying that we'll grow and get better and more effective witnesses for the Lord. Keep servicing and encouraging and ministering and helping one another. Make sure your love and your faith have action to back it up. And go refresh somebody. Would you do that? I tell you what will happen. Listen to me. You go to refresh them. When you go away, you're going to be so refreshed you can't believe it. That's just the way God does it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these simple reminders of profound doctrines in the Word of God. Bless these dear folks today. Encourage them. And may they in turn go out and refresh others. In Jesus' name, amen.